And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is Courageous Leadership. Each of my guests is discussing communicating how you can be a gutsy leader. My first guest is a successful businessman and consultant. He's the master of workarounds that keep you moving forward in both work and life. We discussed his latest book, Workarounds at Work. My next guest is a straight-talking CNBC reporter who demands a modern solution to the nation's social and economic woes. A return to our political roots, fiscal conservatism, limited government, and personal accountability. We'll discuss her latest book, You Know I'm Right, More Prosperity, Less Government. As always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Michelle Caruso Cabrera is an anchor and a reporter for CNBC's Business Day programming, and she's currently part of the Power Lunch Ensemble with Sue Herrera and Tyler Matheson. Previously, Michelle was co-anchor of CNBC's cutting-edge global daily business news reporting program, utilizing all the resources of CNBC worldwide. Michelle reported from Baghdad, Cuba, Brazil, Venezuela to produce groundbreaking stories about the economies in those countries. Michelle has reported for CNBC since 1978, and then before that she was at St. Petersburg, Florida, where she spent 4 years as a general assignment reporter. Prior to joining the outfit down in Florida, she was a special project producer for Univision, and she began her career way back in 1991 as a stringer for the New York Times. Michelle writes a personal finance column for Shape in Espanol, and previously she was a monthly contributor to People in Espanol. Michelle has been awarded the Broadcaster of the Year from the National Association of Hispanic Journalists and was named one of the 100 most influential Hispanics in the country by Hispanic Business Magazine, which coincidentally is just up the road in Santa Barbara, California. She earned her bachelor's degree in economics from Wesley College. Welcome to the show, Michelle. How are you today?
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you on board, and I know you're on deadline today, so I want to dive right into the subject, your latest book. Now, you're known throughout the industry as a straight shooter, which makes you very popular with both Democrats and Republicans alike. And you've got glowing reviews in your book from Jack Welch and Larry Kudlow, two other very straight shooters themselves. So I'm going to be straight with you. Why did you choose to write, You Know I'm Right, More Prosperity and Less Government at this time?
It happened during the election when it came to me. I was sitting on the set, and we had a Republican pundit on set talking about something perhaps related to gay marriage or abortion. And I said to him, what happened to the Republican Party that I remember as a child that wanted to stay out of people's pocketbooks and out of people's private lives? And he kind of waved his hand at me like he was swatting a fly, and he said, that doesn't work anymore. I was really, really angry because I thought that government should be getting smaller, and under 8 years of Republican rule, it had been getting bigger and bigger and bigger, even though they claimed to be the party of small government. And I thought, you know, if people had wanted these kind of policies, they would have voted for Democrats. So that's what made me write the book.
Well, and that's very interesting that you would have that reaction to it. Of course, you and a couple of your colleagues on CNBC have sort of been held up as models for the Tea Party. Do you think that not only what you write in this book, but also what you say on the air influences people in the Tea Party movement today?
Well, I know Rick Santelli certainly influenced the Tea Party when he threw the tea up in the air.
Yes,
and
he did.
Kind of gave him the name. It was so great. I started writing the book before the Tea Party existed. I think to some extent, you know, on CNBC, we focus almost exclusively on fiscal issues. We don't talk about social issues. And I think the Tea Party's strength has been that they focused on fiscal issues, on the size of government, and they didn't get trapped in talking about the deficit. They keep talking about spending because the deficit is the symptom of the problem. The problem is the spending.
All right. Well, that's very well said. And you yourself are a free market capitalist, and that's why I invited you on the show. I love to talk to free market capitalists. In your book, though, you call for completely eliminating, get this, no less than 8 or 9 different parts of the government, the Federal Department of Education, the Commerce Department, the Energy Department, the Transportation Department, HUD, which is the Housing and Urban Development, the Securities and Exchange Commission, Social Security, and Medicare. That's radical surgery. So, Michelle, how would we go about doing that, and how could the free market handle these duties better than government agencies?
Well, remember, all those agencies exist based on the premise that supposedly government knows better than the individual. That's the only reason why any of those departments should exist, if you believe that. I don't believe that to be true. You could deep dive into each one of those, but very simply, the Education Department at the federal level That's actually pretty darn new in American history. It was created under Jimmy Carter as a favor to the unions, only had like 5 employees when it started. George Bush made it huge and started doing federal intervention in education across the country, when it's actually always been locally funded and a local issue. And if instead you just let parents choose where they wanted their kids to go to school, instead of them being forced to send their kid to whatever the local government decided school is, you'd have a lot more competition in school, much better teachers, you'd have much better teaching. I mean, that's just one example. All of those things, and I guess I go back to what Milton Friedman always said were the 4 roles of government. You want to maintain law and order, you want to defend the borders, you want to enforce private contracts, and you want to maintain competitive markets. Those are the only 4 things that government should do. And when you start looking at those 4 things, then you get down to some real basics, the Department of Defense, the Department of Justice, et cetera, those kind of things. The rest of those can go. They should be left up to the individual or to the states to decide for themselves.
All right. We're talking to Michelle Caruso Cabrera, everybody, author of the book, You Know I'm Right, More Prosperity, Less Government, and also a CNBC contributor. I want to do a deep dive on one of those departments that you have up for removal, and that is the Securities and Exchange Commission. You're there on Wall Street on a day-to-day basis. And looking at the SEC, you know, the SEC was formed way back in the 1930s after the Great Depression. And looking at that, it seems that there are some values to having the SEC in place. As a business reporter, why would you eliminate the SEC and let the market take care of that itself?
Well, I guess intuitively I understand why people think there should be some kind of protections. But let me ask you this. The SEC was created to protect the investor. Have they done that?
Well, they've not been able to, because my contention has always been, Michelle, that the guys on Wall Street are always smarter than the guys in Washington. And as soon as the guys in Washington do something to prevent malfeasance on Wall Street, the guys on Wall Street are 2 steps ahead of them.
Absolutely. And that is always going to be the case. And what the SEC ends up doing is giving people a false sense of security. Those people invested in Bernie Madoff, well, the SEC exists. They would, I mean, by now, the SEC would have found something out.
Well, the SEC was warned 5 times by Harry Markowitz, Markopoulos, that there was malfeasance.
That's my point. They were brought to the horse was brought to the river. It didn't drink. So I just don't think you can ever believe that a government agency is going to protect you. You need to rely on yourself.
All right. Well, sage advice. Michelle, I'm going to change gears a little bit. And this is something that you may or may not be aware of, because you're on site doing some reporting right now. But today on this morning's edition of Squawk on the Street, CNBC had a viewer poll which gave 2 choices. How do we make the United States more competitive in the future, with more taxpayer funded education or with more immigration? So I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you to answer CNBC's own poll. Which would you choose given those 2 choices?
Oh, more immigration. Absolutely more immigration. Taxpayer-funded education. We've increased spending dramatically on education, and yet our numbers don't improve. We need a different methodology for education in America. We need more free choice. We don't need more spending. We've got plenty of that. Immigration, I'll give you 4 reasons why you should support immigration to the United States. Google, eBay, Yahoo, Sun, Microsoft, they were all founded by immigrants. We win when we allow immigrants to come in. They lower the cost of labor. They make us far more competitive. The best and the brightest still want to come here. That is great. And wouldn't we all be sad if Google had been created in Russia, or if it hadn't been created at all? I mean, think all those companies, they pay huge amounts of taxes. They employ hundreds of thousands of people. We are all winners because they exist.
All right. We're talking to Michelle Caruso Cabrera, everybody, author of the book, You Know I'm Right, More Prosperity, Less Government. And in your book, you sort of gave a report card. We're going to go on the theme of education here. You sort of gave a report card to President George W. Bush in your book. Overall, how do you rate him? What did George Bush do right, and where did he miss the mark?
President Bush, I was very frustrated with President Bush. I think that if he at one point would say he was a friend of the free markets, and yet I don't think that he was. He increased regulation. He increased entitlement spending. He increased spending for the Department of Labor, the Department of Education, all of these things that to me ran contrary to what are supposedly the principles of his party. And yet I think a lot of people were led to believe that there was less regulation. There wasn't less regulation. There was Sarbanes-Oxley, a huge increase in financial regulation that was supposedly going to prevent the next financial crisis. Oops, that didn't work either. And then he focused on social issues so much that here's my problem with social issues in the Republican Party. If you want to make rules about the personal lives of people, that's about making government bigger, not smaller. And it runs contrary to this idea of what the role of government should be. So I'm one of these people who is, you know, within, there's this huge division within the Republican Party. What role should social values play? I think it should be very minimal. And I think George Bush embraced a lot of those things that I don't agree with. The Ayn Rand Institute, when he left, put out a statement that said, with a friend like this to the free markets, who needs enemies?
Ooh, harsh words from the Ayn Rand Institute. Yeah. Well, Michelle, you probably know that Ventura County is the home to the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library. And from where you sit, who is the most Reagan-like politician to emerge to challenge the status quo in Washington, D.C.?
You know, I don't want to give endorsements. That's just not my role as a journalist. I think there's some great ideas coming out of Paul Ryan. He's one of the few brave people to say, we've really got to do something about Medicare and Social Security. Here's a way to do it. Chris Christie has done a wonderful job of taking away the moral high ground from the teachers and saying out loud for the first time to the people of New Jersey, did you know that the teachers don't contribute anything to their health care? That was that one statement kind of, everybody in New Jersey woke up and said, really? I didn't know that. And it all dawned, I think, on the population to say, wow, look, the private sector's been, in the private sector, we've been losing and losing and losing, and yet the public sector, they haven't. So it's time to share the burdens. So, I'm impressed with some of the things that they've said, but, you know, a smashing candidate who's got the conviction in the individual the way Ronald Reagan had, I'm not sure I see it yet.
All right. We're talking to Michelle Caruso Cabrera, everybody, author of the book You Know I'm Right, and also a CNBC reporter and anchor as well. So let's bring things back to something that you are a little more comfortable talking about. What is the role of business news reporting to change this country's mood from populism, which is a distrust of big business and an embracement of big government, towards less reliance on big government?
You know, I don't know that business news necessarily has a role. I know that CNBC, our mission is to have very, very intellectually vigorous discussions on the air about what is the best way to create jobs, what is the best way to stay competitive, what is the best way to make sure that the government has the tax revenue that it needs for the role that it wants to play. In the end, CNBC is a big believer in private property, right? I mean, you got to own stocks, et cetera. So I think we end up leaning towards a free market solution compared to perhaps maybe other networks do. But we don't see ourselves necessarily as having a role in trying to convince people to be less populist. Our basic mission is to help people invest so that way they can retire comfortably, so they can rely on themselves.
All right.
Bottom line.
All right. Well, Michelle, you come from a very interesting background. Your grandparents fled Cuba and the communist dictator Fidel Castro back in 1962. You yourself have reported on conditions in Cuba since then. Now, I want to ask you, as a business reporter, foreign businesses other than Americans are moving into Cuba anticipating Castro's death. Will the United States be at a disadvantage if Cuba returns to a more free market economy?
Because they haven't been allowed to invest yet? I don't think so. Having been there, look, first of all, a lot of those foreign businesses have been investing in the anticipation of the departure of Fidel Castro for now nearly 50 years. And here's what a lot of, I think a lot of American businesses don't realize, is that all of these foreign companies that are getting in there, these hotel companies, et cetera, when they go in, the Cuban government says, okay, you're going to put up 100% of the money, but we're going to retain 51% control of the business. And so what happens is hotels, when they want to do refurbishments, they got to get permission from the government. And the government doesn't want to do that. They want to strip that business of every bit of cash they can get because the Cuban government so desperately needs cash in order to buy food for its people because they just don't have the money. So doing business in Cuba for foreign companies has been extremely difficult. The Cuban government, which doesn't like competition amongst its people, wants everybody to competitively bid so that they can get the best price. So they're hypocrites. And then in the end, it's still extremely difficult to do business there because you just don't have as much control over your properties as you would otherwise. And the Cuban government has a long history of not paying back creditors. So I think there is plenty of time to get into Cuba post Castro, whenever they decide to open up.
All right. Very good insight from Michelle Caruso Cabrera, everybody. Author of the book, You Know I'm Right, More Prosperity, Less Government, and also a CNBC anchor and correspondent. Michelle, let me ask you, what did you get out of writing the book, You Know I'm Right?
Well, I got to interact with viewers in a way that normally I don't, because on CNBC we try to keep it very basic to investing, what's the best way to invest, where are the best places to invest, and what are the implications of government decisions on investments. So this was a way to really talk about other things that I don't really have a chance to talk about on air. And so on Facebook, on Twitter, at book signings, it's been really wonderful to interact with people and to talk about. You know, a lot of people come up to me and say, wow, I thought I was the only one. I felt so lonely. And so it's nice.
That's great. Michelle, if people are interested in what you're saying, they want to learn more about you or learn more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
You know, I've got a website, michelle.caruso-cabrera.com. But also there's my bio on CNBC.com, and I write pieces there as well. So the Internet's always, if you do a Google search on me, all kinds of stuff comes up.
All right. Michelle.Caruso, that's CARUSO-Cabrera, CABRERA.com or CNBC.com. Michelle, thank you so much for being our special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Billy, thank you so much. Anytime.
Thank you. Take care.